House of Dark. Literature and Poetry. By Tomikio L. Dooley. Copyright 2020 by Tomikio L. Dooley. All rights reserved. No portion of this publication may be reproduced, stored in any electronic system, transmitted in any form or by any means, electronic, mechanical, photocopy, recording, or otherwise, without written permission from the author. Events, locales, and conversations have been recreated from memories. In some instances, in order to maintain anonymity, names of individuals and places have been changed. Some identifying characteristics and details such as physical properties, occupations, and places of residence have been changed. The names, places, and/or people are fictitious. Any that seem real are created from the imagination of the author. The names of cities, towns, and characters are also a fictitious form of writing. Author notes. D. During composing stages, I hadn't given poetry considerable attention. In my unoccupied time, I write seldom short stories and poetry, but objectives charged my mind into leaning toward poetry, in a fresh perspective. Poetry to me, at initial, considered a few lines, and there, announced writing. Now this seems to be false. Make those poem lines bounce and flip with interests from writers into philosophy. After reading literature, short stories, and poetry combinations from alternative authors and poets, their works transformed my mind about the subjects. While I never argued composing short stories, as many stated, short stories produces no interest, establishing personal relationships with characters, plots, and twists, I, too, discovered that knowledge to be false. Subjects, what one make of them, creating a personal world, voice, with artistic ways. Award-winning author and editor, Tomikio L. Dooley. Introduction. Tomikio L. Dooley produces short tales and poems of love, devotion, dark beauty, and artistry. Edwin Peter Irwin, a writer, poet, editor, and literature reviewer residing in Boston, Massachusetts, battling with trials and tribulations inside Hearthstone Estate. The poet wrestles with murderers of literature, a house buried in secrets, an ancestral bride, a strange, cataclysmic and golden ring, when the bells of Thanksgiving ring. Then Black Christmas, and A Tale of Truth, threatens to overturn his sanity. Can Edwin escape the claws of something so ominous, but beautiful, full of love? Or will his battle suck him into a void of lust and desperation? The Rise of Hearthstone Estate. Monday, October 14, 1810. I am 45-year-old, Edwin Peter Irwin, a writer, a poet, an editor, and literature reviewer. I spent my life remaining inside Hearthstone Estate. Handed down from the Irwin generation, my great-great-great-great-grandfather resided in the inheritance composed of grayish stones. When I came up there as a young child, my father threatened I would become the sole proprietor when the age had fallen. I don't wish to live in this place forever. I had clamored to my father. Peter Oscar Irwin mocked me. You will too, develop into the sole proprietor, as I say. He spoke coolly to the thin, black-headed childhood of me. I was merely 7 then, not realizing what it was, and plotted to sail across the Atlantic Ocean as Christopher Columbus had done. I planned to never return to Hearthstone Estate with its horrible ancestral secrets. I became fascinated with Christopher Columbus, researching the Italian explorer during his journey from Spain in 3 ships, the Nina, the Pinta, and Santa Maria on August 3, 1492. I was not yet born, so weren't my recent forefathers. Soon, I discovered I would never sail across Atlantic Ocean or any other ocean for that instant, if I was to stay a prisoner in Hearthstone Estate. In my deepest thoughts, I despised my father for making me stay there so long. I developed accustomed to the large grayish building and didn't want to leave. My father knew this because it happened to him, and so many families before us. The grandfather clock chimed throughout the estate. It headed past noon for me when I took notice to a knock on the heavy oak door. I spun toward its dark brownish in color and stared at it. You're not alone. I imagined the cry-spattering sweet of love and caring to my mind. But it didn't come when the door opened. She wasn't standing in the immense doorway telling me I wasn't alone. But instead, Yami Leth Taylor, the hired help, stood watching with black eyes and plump, rosy cheeks. She fumbled with her apron in a nervous twitch, dropping her gaze toward the floor. I dropped my eyes lower, glancing at her legs and frowned. Must you wear those ugly black stockings inside the house? I snorted. Sir, it's not ladylike working without proper attire. I need to wear stockings. Who told you this? Your mother. Because it certainly wasn't I pressed on. Yes, sir, my mother. How old are you? 15 years younger. Surely, you're an adult as I can see. This is my house. Your mother isn't here. Take off the stockings before you burst into flames. Out of all respects, sir, I cannot take off the stockings. I narrowed my eyes, working my tongue across my teeth. Somewhat amazed at Yamalitha's obstinacy, I then became quite appalled. What is it you want? It is noon, I can hear it. Lunch is ready, sir, and don't forget Mr. Robinson's visit. Very well, I said, flapping my hands like a bird at Yami Leth. She turned and left my chamber. The Rise of Hearthstone Estate. Where my ancestors settled. Their souls laden with distress. Deteriorated bones ache with misery. Woe, the earth protect their cartilages. As they change into excrement. Into ashes and be no more. Edwin Peter Irwin. Thoughts about my father and mother inside their graves in the Irwin Cemetery behind the estate haunted me. When I passed on, my bones and dirt shall deposit alongside the last neighbors, my father and mother. I looked upon the gigantic window, the one where I always stood, and watched the ravens descending from heaven where they entertain my father. Oh, how I wanted to stand there, but the ravens hadn't come to accompany me yet. If they had, I would tell Yami Leth I pass on lunch, and Gabriel Robinson, the newspaper editor, to shove his story where places remain dark. But I had a story to tell. I buried a racket cough into my crusty palms. My hands shed with callus from hardship and working, and illness. The skin peeled, cracking from my bones. I touched my pinkish cheek. I looked old and ill. What illness I wouldn't reveal. But it was enough to keep me alive for then, even though every human sentenced to death. I got up, grabbed my walking cane, and left behind the chamber. Soon after I left my chamber, I took the elevator down 8 floors, and exited into the main corridor. Cool shadowy interior smothered me, grasping my neck. Bony fingers wrapped its skeleton remains around my throat. The hairs stood up on my rapid aging skin. My eyes swelled with fear. Slightly, I gasped for air, passing the corridor toward the dense threshold. Leaning against the door's edge, catching my breath, Yami Leth and Gabriel Robinson seemed not to notice my little fit. I straightened up just as they saw me coming through the doorway.